You know, sometimes I'm amazed at how God works. I came in here tonight as I headed this direction, and I was going to talk about Cracker Jack. But I'm going to have to put Cracker Jack up for tonight. Sherry, I don't know if she can hear me or not, but God speaks in some of the most unusual places. Notice I put my notebook right there. And I studied this morning and over the weekend, again, what I thought I would be preaching tonight. And I'm telling you the truth, and I lie not. I was sitting at Chick-fil-A just a few moments ago after my eye exam and doing everything, and God said, no, this is what I want you to talk about. I don't like getting up here and just saying, here it is, without being prepared the way I like being prepared. But my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. So I feel like that God spoke to my heart as I was sitting there in the line. I didn't say nothing to Sherry. I was just pondering on it. The world that we're living in today is a much different world than it was several years ago. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples in the scripture, that you've got to be as wise as a serpent, and you've got to be as harmless as a dove. Now, if you open up the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, now this is scripture that we've all read, and we've all preached it. We've heard it preached. But I'll put it to you the way I feel it. And I'm saying these words. I'm saying, if God spoke to my heart, and I feel like He did, sitting in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A just a little bit ago, I have to believe that this word is for myself as well as others. In the complexity of our society today, we need help. We need all the help that we can get. The psalmist said these words. The psalmist said, what does he say? My help cometh from the Lord. And that's the bottom line. If we believe the Bible, we've got to understand that our help comes from the Lord. And if I was to go through flipping pages in the book of Psalms, I love preaching the Psalms. You can just go through there and you can about open a psalm anywhere and it speaks to your heart. Because the psalmist knew from whence cometh his help. That's not a good English word for today. Whence cometh our help? So if I sat there and I thought, okay, am I going to do this? Am I going to do what I studied and prepared? I thought, well, I'll just do what God told me to do and leave it at that. So it may not come out preachy. It may not even come out no more than what it is right now. And you know and I know, the Bible says, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So in Proverbs chapter number 3, I want to just kindly open that up. Proverbs chapter 3 actually has 35 verses to it. And I'm not going to, of course, get through all of those, and I don't intend to. I believe that we can look at this and we can understand that wisdom comes from the Lord. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, God, give me the wisdom to understand and the knowledge to know how to use the wisdom. I've said that through my life. God, give me the understanding of you and your word. And then give me the knowledge and give me the understanding that is necessary to understand and to use your word wisely. Well, when we look in this proverb again, it opens up in verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon was the writer And evidently Solomon had a spiritual son or son, and I'm not going to get into all that right now. But yet he was writing the way I would write to someone if I was writing them a letter. In matter of fact, I've not written a letter, but I've tried to give this same advice to not only my physical son, but also other children as well that's coming along. I think about this, and I think about the concern and the passion that goes into trying to instruct someone and trying to give someone, as we would use the word, godly and sound advice. I remember my own life. Again, this kind of piggybacks a little bit on what I said on Sunday. And this is me again, and if you were preaching it, you can preach it the way you want to preach it. I was always one that if an elder spoke to me, my ears perked up. Even as a young person, a young man. You know, some folks, we think about maybe what I've been told. I don't know this. I'm not a psychologist and don't even try to play one on TV. But I've been told that there's a disorder. And the disorder is called a defiance disorder, which basically is the understanding if you tell somebody not to do nothing, do something, because of this disorder that they have, they will absolutely go and do what you tell them not to do. That's a defiance disorder. Now, clinically, I cannot prove that. I don't know that. I've not ever looked it up. Me and my little sister had that conversation one time. So I would ask us this evening, as God-fearing adults, and I would assume that no one in this building has that type of situation going on. But Solomon was writing this, I believe, with the individual that he was writing this to, with a heart filled with compassion, and he was writing this in the interest of the individual, the hearer of the word. Now, when I think about the scripture, I think about the word of God, and a lot of times my heart explodes and my mind explodes, and I begin to think about other scripture that goes along with what I'm studying when I'm studying, if I had this all laid out in front of me on my desk. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that is so very important that we adhere to and we learn and we know the word of God. There's so many today that don't even hear the word. They don't pick up the word. Now, I'm different than you guys probably. Not you guys. I still like my Bible. Amen? I still like, I know people do electronic stuff, but I still like, look at that. I don't know if you can see it. I mean, all the way through, not that page, but all the way through is highlighted and things, and I circle stuff and stuff that jumps off the page at me. Now, if you do electronic stuff, God bless you, but I'm talking about taking the word of God and the Bible says and hiding it in our heart. I think there's something to say about taking the word today and making application of the word. And this is what Solomon was writing. Now, I've preached this before, maybe not this exact same way, but I've preached this before and you've read it 100 times probably, or at least one time maybe in your life. But he says, as he's writing this, forget not my law. The thing I thought about when I said that, if you don't know God's word, how are you going to forget? You've got to know God's word in order to make application of God's word. Again, as I've already stated, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he says here in the scripture, forget not my law. And he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And I thought about this driving up the road a while ago. It's because out of the very issues of our heart, everything you are, the Bible says, comes from the internal part of who you are. I'm not talking about that blood pumping organ inside of your body. But you ask yourself, and I ask myself, somebody says, how's your heart? Well, I'm not talking about your physical heart, the one pumping blood, but how's your heart? Is your heart right with God? Are you living the way God would have you to live? Are you doing the right thing? Is there something going against the grain, so to speak? Is there something in your heart that's not the way it needs to be? I'm so glad. The Bible says that we can have a clean heart. We can have a pure heart. We can have a heart that's before God open and clean. But the Bible also tells us that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? You can know it by the Spirit. You can know your own heart. I know mine. Hello? I know when I'm, let me use the term like this. I know when I'm hitting on all eight cylinders and when I'm not. When I'm doing a misfire, or when all my spark plugs are not working right. Hello, somebody. Now, if you're not mechanically inclined, you don't have a clue what I just said. But you know in your own heart whether your heart's right. So the first thing that the in this proverb is that he, Solomon, charged this young person's heart. In the regards of simply saying, the main thing you need to do is keep your heart right with God. Get your heart right. Somebody said, well, I'll get it right when I get everything else right in my life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You'll never get it right. Until you get your heart right, nothing else is going to get right. Amen? You take your heart out of your chest, you die. You may have good kidneys. You may have good lungs. You may have a good brain. You may have good everything else. But you take your heart out, you're going to die. Hello. So the first thing that Solomon says here in the scripture is to keep my commandments in your heart. Now I know that if you begin to walk through these, you can look at all the commandments, and I know what Jesus said over in John chapter 13. We won't go there tonight. But he says in verse number 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. How do you get those length of days? How do you get the long life? How do you get peace in your life? All these things are going to be added to you. How do you do that? He already told you, by keeping your heart right with God. Amen? I'm glad that when we go and lay our head on our pillow at night, I don't have to wallow the bed, and I don't have to lay there wallowing in nervous condition of whether or not my heart is right with God. You know what I do? Sherry's over there playing a puzzle on her phone or whatever the thing must be. You know what I do? I roll over, kiss her on the cheek. I say, good night. Boop. I'm gone. There have been times in my life that I've wallowed the bed. There have been times that I've worried about this and I've worried about that. And I'll be honest with you, God has helped me over the last 6 or 8 months. I just go in there and go to bed. And somebody says, well, thank God you can do it, because I sure can't do it. Somebody else says, it ain't got nothing to do with my heart. I just can't sleep. Well, I'm praying that God will give you peace. I'm praying that God would give you rest. I'm praying that God would lay you down in sleep, and God would let you rest. But for other folks, they are not that way, because they have no peace. There is no peace for the sinner. How many of you know that? There is no peace for the rebellious. You think, you're talking to senior adults tonight. Why are you preaching this? I don't know who's watching me. I have no idea. I don't have no clue. While I was sitting down there a while ago, why God told me to do this. I have no idea. I have no clue. Only thing I'm doing is obeying what I believe that God told me to do. And God says to you and I this evening, if you're going to have long life, if you're going to have peace, if you're going to have length of days, and I could add a whole lot to that right there, but I won't. Just keep your heart right. And I'm going to do something very strange. I'm a strange cat. I want you just to shut your eyes for a minute. And I want you just to look at the very internal part of who you are. And I want you to look at your own soul for a second. I want you to look at your own heart for a second. And I want to ask you something. Is your heart right with God? Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And you said, well, preacher, I got a hiccup in mine, and I don't know if mine's really right. Well, you can fix that too. All you got to do is come running to Father God and you can confess your sins. And I know I'm getting off on something else right there, but it's part of it. You can confess your sins tonight and you can ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you know what? Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. And God will save you just like He saved me. He'll forgive you just like He forgave me. And somebody says, well, my biggest problem is not God forgiving me, it's me forgiving myself. God said that He will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. If God forgets your sins, you should too. Amen? I said it before and I'll say it again, that I've heard Jensen Franklin say this myself. He said the reason that the devil always keeps bringing up your past is because he don't have no new material on you. Get your heart right. And then I'll get into the part that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. There it is again. When you look at this, again, I heard this years ago about mercy. We know grace is defined as the unmerited favor of God, that God shows you that unmerited favor, that unconditional love. I think it was like Chuck Swindoll that was on the radio one time and I was listening to him and he was talking about the mercy of God. And he defined it in a way that it's always stuck into my spirit. That the mercy of God is God not giving you what you truly do deserve. Wow. I don't know how that hits you this evening, but it hits me good because there's not a person in this room that's earned the mercy of God. And then he tells this young man, as he talked to my son, he said again, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck, and then write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Several things. He says to hold on to them. Hold on to them and don't let them go. I think about, he talks about mercy and he talks about this and he says, bind it about thy neck. This is just me. This is how I feel. If he says, if you put it around your neck like a necklace where you can just reach out and grab a hold of it and hold on to it. You think, well, I've never had to really ever go through a whole lot in this life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've had to go through a whole lot of stuff in this life. And there have been a whole lot of times if I didn't have mercy and truth to hold on to during those times, thy word is truth. How many of you know that Jesus is the truth, the way, the life? If I didn't have Jesus, the truth to hold on to, thy word is truth. If I didn't have the truth of God's word to hold on to, where in the world would I be tonight? Where would I be? Where would I be? When you're going through the valley, when you don't know what you're going to do, when you don't know which way to turn, hey, hold on to truth. And understand that God's mercy is an enduring mercy. And you can go into to one of the Psalms, I think, and it talks about, and I don't remember which one it was, but it goes and it says this over and over and over, that His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. No matter what you're going through, if you'll hold on to God and if I'll hold on to God, we're going to run smack dab into mercy, and it's going to be the mercy of God that's going to get you and me through whatever it is that I'm facing. Been there, done that. But it's because I held on and I wouldn't let go. Hello? Held on and wouldn't let go. Verse 4. And he says again, when you talk about verse 4, he says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Not only do you have favor with God, but you got favor with man. Hello? I'd a whole lot rather stand before God than I would man. But as I do stand before man, somebody says, I don't really give a rip what people think about me. I've heard that. You know what? I care what you think about me. I care a lot about what you think about me. But I've heard people say, well, I don't really care what people think. Well, I do care what people think. You know why? Because if you didn't think something good of Alan Green, you sure enough wouldn't be sitting in that pew tonight. You'd be somewhere else doing something else. Hello, somebody. And God says, if you'll do what's right in me, keep your heart right. He said, you're going to have favor with man, and you're going to have favor with me. Hey, you know what? I just feel this in my spirit. The time that the devil had you by the noose of the neck, and when the devil tried to kill you, the devil couldn't kill you. You're like Job. He didn't have the power to take your life. And you know why? And you know what kept you? Mercy, and the favor of God. The favor of God and the mercy of God. The next verse is really what I wanted to get into. Those other four verses was really free. They didn't cost you nothing tonight. They're free. So in this particular proverb, and this is the thing that hit me a while ago, he says, trust in the Lord. Now that's a big word. Back behind this wall, back over in the, I got a restroom on that side of the stage. Kay Leonard, when I first come here, got me a big old life preserver. And it says Jesus saves on the front of it. And I could go get it. I'm not going to go get it. But if you were drowning, you would be wanting somebody to throw you a life preserver. And you would grab that thing and you would cling to it with everything within you. You're putting your trust in that life preserver to save your life. I've also seen it done as an example that where there would be myself and another somebody right here, and then you'd get somebody about like Steve Jones to come up here and stand in front of them, and I would ask him the question, do you trust me? And Steve would say, oh yeah, I trust you, preacher. Do you really trust me, Steve? He'd say, yeah, I trust you. I say, okay, shut your eyes, fold your hands, and on the count of three, fall backwards. And Steve would go, I don't know, I'm a pretty big guy. I don't know if I trust you or not. And then this other person about the size of Brenda, you know, a little small person, is like, I don't know about all that. I'll get Bobby. Bobby's a smaller guy too. He's a smaller frame. And Steve would be going, I don't know about all that. Trust is one of those things that absolutely unquestionable. You put your absolute everything you've got into the fact that I'm going to catch you, and I'm not going to let you hit your head. Steve says, I can't handle too many more bumps like that. But I'm not going to let you get hurt. And I thought about that coming up the road as I was just coming up here. I thought, do we really trust God like that? Where that we can just absolutely, totally, unquestionable, put our absolute whole... And the thing I thought about, well, what about when trouble comes? What about when hardship comes? What about when you don't really understand what's going on around you comes? Can you really trust the Lord? Now, I don't know about you. My answer is an absolutely yes. Yes, absolutely. 100%. I can put my absolute total trust in God. I'm sure that Job had a few friends that sat around. And again, I think the scripture reads like for 7 days, I think it was, that they just sat there and stared at Job. Didn't say a word, just stared at him. And then finally they begin to break their silence and they begin to say, you know, surely he's messed up somewhere. Surely he has sinned. Surely, Job, are you going to retain your integrity in all of that? And Job said, hey, yeah. They just stared at him. I'm sure that Job did not understand why Mr. Job was going through everything that he was going through. When the Sabaeans come and the wind came and all that happened in Job's life in a matter of a few days. A lot of times I think about trust, and we think about this word trust when we got money in the bank. We think about this word trust when we're well. We think about this word trust in the year 2019, prior to March the 8th or 10th, whenever it was, of 2020. When everything and everything's going on just fancy and there's seemingly not a problem in the world. I remember that time. We came and we preached on the 8th, I think it was. The next week was the 15th. I think we were here that morning, and by night time I told everybody to stay home. And it's like the whole world shifted. We didn't know what to expect. So I'm saying all of that because I sat in Chick-fil-A a while ago and the Lord said, turn to Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. And talk about trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Now, I know that the Bible says that some men trust in riches and some men trust in chariots. And it's okay to have those things as long as those things don't have you. Somebody will say, well, the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, the point of the whole matter is, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that becomes the root of all evil. It becomes your God. It becomes what you're putting your trust in. It's what you're putting your faith in. And it's the only thing that you can think about day in and day out. You say, where did that come from? That was free too. I won't charge you for that. Trust in the Lord. So as we think about this service tonight, we think about these words. I have to be honest with you. This has not always come easy for me. Why? Now, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Because I'm a fixer. I want to fix everything. I want to fix your problems. I want to fix my children's problems. I want to fix the world's problems. And as long as I think I can do it, I'm okay with me doing it. But it's a whole different story when you get to the period at the end of the sentence and then there's not another sentence that's even begun yet, and you're standing there between the period and the beginning of the other sentence, and you're going, I don't know what to do. Is anybody with me tonight? You're there. You're in the moment. The period's at the end of the sentence. This one's not even started, but you're standing there, and you're going, what do I do now? The only thing I can tell you is what God told me at Chick-fil-A. And He said, trust me. Are you hearing me tonight? Trust me. And you say, well, you're preaching to yourself, preacher. Well, thank you for praying for me and for being a part of my message this evening. And you pray for me as I pray for you. Have you ever went through anything when you had to just trust God? Now, I'm not going to jump around a whole lot tonight in the Scripture, but I do want to turn over. Kathy, I'll come right back to that in just a minute. I'm going to turn real quick over to the book of Hebrews, and you know this as well as I do. But when you look into the Scripture, as you look through this, I said Hebrews, Ephesians. I have to do it that way, sorry. That's the way I memorized stuff. Look at this. When you look into the Scripture and you begin to see what the Scripture says, we battle this whole thing in the spiritual realm. And the Bible teaches us, if you look into this, he says this in the Word, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the only one I'm going to read. Because you can go in and put in the armor of God. You can do all that. But he says, in the power of His might. The powers, it don't reside within us. It resides within Him. The Bible again teaches us. And he says this in the Scripture. And he says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But the Bible says that every man's been given the measure of faith in Romans 12. Then he says that in Hebrews 11, in that Faith Hall of Fame, one verse, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How many of you want to please God? And again, I go back and I say that word out of Romans chapter 12, and it says that every man has been given the measure of faith. And my wife challenged me on this here years ago. She said, it takes as much faith to disbelieve as it does to believe. You can choose whether to believe God by faith or disbelieve God by faith. It's still your faith that leads you to disbelief, or it's your faith that leads you to believe. So why don't we just take our faith and use it to believe God? And then he says in this word, again in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is our golden nugget in this message. That we must continue our faith in God regardless of what we see out there, if we truly say that we're trusting in God. And I may be preaching to me tonight, and I know I am. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. I know I am. But we look at this, and he said, but he must believe that he is. You know, somebody said here not long ago, I don't know that I've ever really met a true atheist. Because people that get in bad enough situations, as they are searching their souls, at some point, so many will say, help me, God. Help me, Lord. I mean, you know, maybe they've been bad all their life, and maybe they've done things that they shouldn't have done. But yet they somewhere come to that place in their life that they know that they've got to trust in someone besides themselves and the situations around them. And again, when Solomon was writing this in this verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Again, look at his word again. Trust in the Lord. Rely. It means to rely upon or to put confidence in. Then he says, with all of your heart, again, that inward part. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I got written in my little margin of my Bible that I write in, and it says this little word right here. When it says, don't lean into your own understanding. Why? Because God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. And then we can see this, and he's all power. Omnipotent. We see that in this it says, lean not to your own understanding. Isaiah reminded us that God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways, that God's ways are much more higher than our ways. If we could do it all and figure it all out, guess what? We'd be calling each other God. We would be relying upon each other. And it don't mean that we can't help each other. It don't mean that we don't need each other. It just simply says that our hope is in the Lord, and our strength comes from the Lord. As he says, lean not to your own understanding, is because you and I are so limited in ourselves that we cannot lean on ourselves in a lot of ways. Now, God wants you to do what you can for yourself, because I believe that God will not do for you what he's given you the ability to do for yourself. I do believe that firmly. That happened right over there in the altar several years ago in 2016, right over there. Adrian Franklin preaching. That was me. That happened to me. But he said here, and he says, lean not to your own understanding. I didn't understand necessarily why I'm preaching this message tonight, other than the fact that this is what I believe God told me to do, sitting in the line at the Chick-fil-A earlier. Isn't it amazing how we lean on, we try to figure it out. Oh, I do. I'm an analyst. I try to figure everything out, figure it all out. I try to come to some form of a conclusion myself that makes sense to me. Sometimes it don't work that way. God wants us to lean on him. He wants us to put our trust in him. He wants us to rely on him. He wants us to run to him. Amen? He wants us to embrace him. We can't save ourselves. Salvation is not in ourselves. Salvation don't come from within us in our thinking and all of our things that we can conjure up and all of our karma and all of our oohs and all of our ahs. No, our salvation is in God. It's in Christ Jesus. And if any other way would have brought salvation, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus would not have died. But he died because he knew that he could do for you and I what nothing else would ever do. Let me look at this real quick. I might let you go a minute or two early. In all of your ways, all of your ways, or some of your ways, acknowledge God in everything you and I do. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. This is what He says. Put your trust in God and acknowledge God. Amen. And He shall direct your path. Which way am I to go? What am I to do? I don't know about you, but I've done that many, many times. And then He teaches us in the Word, be not wise in thine own eyes. In other words, Solomon being the most wisest man that was of the Scripture, and he wrote off. You know, Solomon's life was really got tangled up there at the end. I'm not going to get into all that, but wow. But he says, be not wise in your own eyes. Again, this is a reference of a total and a complete reliance on God. It has something to do here with, you know, my mind just really picked this up really quick. You know, when the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the dragon, Apollyon, all those names that they give to him throughout the Scripture, what was his biggest problem? Huh? Pride. He said within himself, I will ascend above the throne of God. I will exalt myself. I. You can read it there in the Scripture. And he went all the way down through there. I'll do this, or I did this, I done that. I. Then I remember reading over in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, where the Bible opens that up and he talks about this, and he begins to say this. He says, come now and let us reason together. And he gives that invitation of embracing once again. I'm so thankful that God is a God that will embrace us. He's an embracing God. Come now and let us reason together. Sit down and let's talk about it. Let's come to a conclusion in the matter. Let's have a little time together. Let's have a little fellowship. Let's have a talk about this. And that's what God does. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the only thing I have to say to that scripture right there is an amen and a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus. Because where would any of us be if we had trusted in our own selves today? We would be lost, miserable, without God, on our way to hell if we hadn't already gotten there. Hello, somebody. So again, he teaches in the Proverbs, and he says, to be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, again, my mind goes back to this, that it is a challenging thing. Now, I'm not going to pick on the women. Women, I love you, and I wouldn't pick on you for the world. But it takes a whole lot for a man to humble himself. Hello, somebody. Men. Because men, somebody said, a real man ain't a man supposed to cry. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, cried. Well, I knew a preacher years ago. That guy'd get up and preach. He'd preach, then he'd bawl a while. He'd get up and preach, and he'd bawl a while. And somebody said he's the cryingest preacher ever seen in my life. I mean, it was his heart that would explode when he would get up and share the Word of God. He would just cry and weep. And I knew another guy. He's a great friend of mine. And he got killed in a wreck several years ago. Michael Vandenberg, just a great guy. A great, great guy. Loved him to death. But Mike would preach. And he would, not him, his another guy. Mike would preach, and he would praise God. He would stand for an hour with his hands like this and just worship God. The most worshiping guy I've ever been around in my life. Last time I was ever with him, Sherry and I ate at the Japanese restaurant down in Concord with him at a, a Doug Small Project Pray thing. We were together, and just a few months after that, he got killed in an accident. A drunk driver hit him, T-boned him right in the driver's door, killed him instantly. But we think, men, I don't know what it is, and guys, forgive me tonight. I'm not picking on you. But I'm just saying, you know, people say, well, a real man ain't supposed to cry. Let me tell you something, friend. The Bible says, if you'll humble yourself in the sight of God, that in due time, He will lift you up. Humble yourself. I'm a man's man. I'm a big man. Yeah. I know what it is. And we are supporters. I'm a fixer. And somebody said, well, I can't show weakness. I can't let my guard down and show a little. I can't be too vulnerable because people think I'm weak. Hello. God, the Bible says that we need to humble ourselves. Somebody says, God will knock you off of your high horse. I don't want to be on a high horse for God to knock me off of. Man, I want to stay humble. If I weep, matter of fact, I want to weep. Because if not, our heart will get calloused and our heart will get hard. I hope this is okay tonight. Our heart will get hard. And that hardened heart will be the only thing that we will know. And you think, well, has this ever affected you in any way, Pastor? I'm going to tell you something. Everything I preach to you tonight, I've lived through. Everything I've told you has went through my grinder at one time or another. Went through my life at one time or another. And I found out something. If I can find myself humble before God, God will help me. I don't want to be stubborn before God. I mentioned that on Sunday a little bit. I called it a knothead. That's what we called them in the mountains, was knotheads. I don't want to be a knothead. And then he says in this scripture, if you look into verse 7 again, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. But it says, fear the Lord. And depart from evil. I wish I'd have had time to look that word up because it's got me and I'm not going to do it. It's got me a Hebrew Strong's Concordance reference right there. Depart from evil. And I could look that word up and bring it out and define that word for you. But you know what it is? It's really crookedness. Crookedness. Apart from it. You say, well, I'm not crooked. I'm not a thief. I'm not like that. Well, I didn't say you was. I said this is what the Proverbs was saying to a young man that needed adjustment in all of his life. And God says, not to do evil. And then he says, and look at this, verse 8, he pulls it together. It shall be health to thy navel. And Mara to thy bones. It'll be health. It'll be nourishment to you. I don't know what a navel is. I think it's an orange. I'm not sure. I'm just kidding. I knew I'd get a laugh out of you one way or another. That's where you was fed as a child. Are you with me? That's where you were fed as a child. That's how you lived when you was attached to your mommy. Some of you say, well, that's a long time ago. But you know what? Come through that nourishment. Strength, that's how you grew. And God says, if you'll do these things, I'm going to be your nourishment. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you the nourishment that you need. And I'm going to make you flourish. I'm going to bless your life. I ain't found a person yet that would say, I don't want to be blessed. Everybody I talk to says, I sure do need to be blessed. I want to be blessed. So the whole bottom line is, if you go back to verse number 5, and he says, trust in God. I don't know Why I done this tonight, I don't know. Other than the fact that as I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is what I want you to do. I'm going, okay, let's do it. That's okay, let's roll with it. Is yet before us. This is what, the 28th? Maybe? 6th, 7th? Long. I'd have to look at my phone. 26th? We're early in the year. I have no clue, guys, what this year holds. But I know who holds the year. The same guy that was the weeper, not the one that got killed, but the other guy that wept all the time when he would preach. He was preaching at Whittier one time, and I heard him preach, and the man was wiping and preaching at the same time. Wiping and preaching. He said he learned something a long time ago. He said, you don't have to worry about the way being cleared if you know the one that clears the way. That stuck with me since my youth. So why don't we just trust God? Let Him be God. He said, preacher, that's easier said than done. I know that. If I went back to Hebrews chapter 11, I would actually go back there and read about faith, the whole chapter. And then I'd go to the book of James, and then what James would say was faith without works is dead. Sometimes our faith has got to grow some legs, and then we got to get busy and do what God tells us to do in spite of the obstacles. Stand with me. Father, we love you tonight. And even in the quickness of this moment, even in the quickness of the day, Lord, I hear your Holy Spirit speaking to Thomasville Church of God and speaking to us. God, that we can trust you when we can't trust nobody else. We can run to you when we have nowhere to run. We can hide in you because, God, you are our refuge and our strength. The psalmist said that, Lord, that you, in Psalm 91, that you, Lord, will cover us. And even though we have the storms coming into our lives from time to time, Lord, it's you that covers us. It's just like David said in the psalm, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So God, we make that our confession tonight, that we're going to trust in you, for thou art with me. And God, be with every person under the sound of my voice, whether through the internet or in this room, that we make a proclamation over our life, no matter what the circumstances around us is saying, that if God be for me, then who can be against me? Amen. You be for us, God. You lead us, God. You direct us, God. And Father, you take these people that's heard this message tonight, and Lord, you speak to our hearts that, God, we trust in you. We put our confidence, unwavering confidence and trust in the God that never failed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting me share my heart, share my burden with you. Your story may not be my story. And my story may not be your story, but the same God that brought you through is the same God that will get us all through. Amen. God bless you. I love you. That was a quick few minutes, wasn't it?